everyone, and thanks for tuning into the podcast. I have another great conversation for you guys as usual. I've spoken to this person before, and I'm always super impressed with how much she can get done and how effective she is at getting all of it done. She writes scripts for short movies. She has a very popular Facebook group. She runs a travel blog. She works in our education system with our kids. And with all that on her free time, she rescues cats. I introduce to you guys the extremely versatile, but very loving Desiree Argentina. Yeah, so it's on the same feed, but somewhere in like episode 52, I did a quick 1 minute episode where I said, hey, this is no longer that podcast.
Okay, so you're transitioning.
Pretty much, yeah. But I didn't create like a whole new feed. Like those episodes still exist for whoever wants to consume that.
Yeah.
The strategy's changed and I've gotten really into human beings in conversation. First of all, why it's so polarized nowadays, but also just the nuances of it. Like, you know, talking to somebody could actually sway your emotion or could not sway your emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's just going down the rabbit hole and explaining it. But basically, it wasn't about just starting helping people to start a business. Now it's like, this world is so crazy that I need to at least hear people in a one-on-one conversation type way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because on social media, you don't have that advantage because once you drop it, it's out to the herd. Anybody could jump on it and eat on it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. So it's just self-labeled the Jose Burgos podcast. No bells, no whistles, no niche. Conversation sometimes goes very weird because I have some old friends online and I start to, I guess, behave like I used to behave. But it's just I want the microphone to kind of capture the conversation. That's the key.
Awesome. No, I love that. I love that. I'm kind of like in the middle of this kind of like rebranding myself as well, pretty much like trying to figure out. I just feel like I'm all over the place all the time and just very unfocused. And I'm trying to just get on the same page with myself, basically.
Okay. So, like personally or business-wise?
I guess business-wise, personally, I'm always going to have those different, avenues and interests and things that I'm, passionate about. But I guess business wise, I just I have a TikTok that does one thing. And then I have my podcast that does another and my Facebook group that does another and my Facebook page that does another, my website that does another. And I'm like, I'm all over the place. I need to really just sink this in and figure out what I'm doing.
Well, you're definitely one of the hardest working people I know. When I was in marketing, I guess they used to say hey, pick one or two areas, and you definitely have conquered the map.
Thanks. I'm just a mess. It never feels like enough. I always feel like I need to do more and conquer more and put more effort in. It just never feels like enough.
Yeah. Now is that a selfish thing? Like you do that for yourself, or is that because you feel you have so much to tell and give to other people that you'd rather go down that route? And that's why you have to get it out regardless.
I think a little bit of both. I definitely have my own interests that I'm very passionate about and want to do and have future goals for. But then there's other things that I'm I'm actually good at this thing and bring this out in people. So I need to do this. And my cat rescue, for example, that's I feel it's because I'm good at rescuing cats. Yeah. I feel it's my personal responsibility to the community to be able to do that. After this interview, I'm going to rescue a cat. So I'm I always feel it's my responsibility to do. So it's a little bit of both, I think.
Yeah. Now walk me through the rescuing a cat. Why does the cat need to be rescued to begin with? I know that may sound like an easy question to you, but I'm interested.
No, absolutely. I actually get that question all the time. And I feel me and my boyfriend talk about this all the time because we've been rescuing cats since 2014. And I think we really, it's interesting how we could just in general, people take for granted what we know and what we're good at. And when somebody used to ask me a question, I'm like, well, duh, obviously. And I'm people actually don't know about stray cats in the cat community. So that's something I've been trying to work on too, is on my TikTok, I've been trying to do more educational cat videos. So for example, basically So I'll just start where we started. So I have always, growing up, I always wanted to own my own animal shelter or farm rescue. Okay. And now I'm vegetarian. I'm like going into vegan. I like cut out a lot of dairy. I'm still working on it, but there's like all these animal issues that people don't really know about. And the more I get educated, I'm like, oh, like, you know, even recently with my mom, I was talking to her about cows and she was like, well, cows always produce milk. Like they need to be milked. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Yeah. And you know, it's just people don't know certain things, you know, and you can't know what you don't know, you know? So we kind of take that for granted. So in 2014, I was graduating graduate school and I was really interested in, you know, just helping cats. I'm a big, you know, crazy cat lady. And I saw a post on, and I just kind of didn't know how. And I saw a post on the Humane Society, my local Humane Society's Facebook page. And they said, we're looking for somebody to foster a mama cat and her two kittens. And I emailed and I was like, hey, I just like wanted to know more about this. Like what goes into fostering? Like how long is it? What would this entail? And they responded with, thanks for your interest. You could pick them up tomorrow. And I was like, wait, what?
Wait a minute. Can they do that?
I know I read the conversation like five times and I'm like, that's not what I said.
Oh, geez. That's what it sounds like.
I was like, oh my gosh. So I went home to my boyfriend and I was like, so we're picking up three cats tomorrow. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
So we started fostering. And then like right after that, my dad was like, my dad had like in Brooklyn, a whole bunch of stray cats in his backyard. And he's like, I have two kittens in my backyard. Yeah. And they weren't really that young. They were like 8 months old, but I was like, oh, okay, I'll take them. And so that's kind of like what got us into it. Like, so basically like I have a whole bunch of traps. And so people contact us. Usually it's usually somebody like feeding a bunch of cats and they're, so one cat, people always think like, oh, there's this like stray cat. I'm going to feed it. Like, you know, poor thing, whatever. What people don't realize, one cat will easily, very, very quickly turn into like 30 cats. Because they reproduce very fast. One cat could have kittens every few months, like every 3 or 4 months. And then those kittens at around 6 months of age will start having babies. So one, if you start feeding one cat, it's going to turn into a whole bunch of them. Yeah. So basically people will contact us and say like, there's a bunch of kittens in my yard. And I'll say, you're like, are there adults? And they're like, yeah, there's adults too. And I'm like, okay, well we need to get those spayed and neutered. Yeah. So basically like kittens, so feral, people don't really know what feral means. I equate it to like a raccoon. So it's a wild cat. They can't be touched. They can't be pet. They don't have any human interaction. But kittens at a certain age, like we've socialized older cats before, but under around a year old, they could actually get used to people and be pet. But the older they are, they're just set in their ways. Like they'll be attached to you. Like they know you're going to feed them. They'll like rub up against you, but you can't pet them. Or like they get attached to one person who like feeds them every day. Cause they know they could trust that person. So like that person's the only person that could feed them kind of thing. Yeah. So those cats that are wild, we get them spayed and neutered and we actually put them back outside because they're not adoptable and they get very depressed being inside. Really? So there's like different cases of like, you know, people who like my sister, she fed a stray cat every day. It started like, you know, coming inside and it would trust her. It would like roll around and now it lives with her and it's her pet. But like a lot of other people can't really pet it, you know? So, but stray kittens, you could socialize them, get them used to people and then adopt them out. And then, so people will contact us and say, hey, we have all these cats and we'll go and trap them. We'll bring them to shelters. You know, we volunteer and work with a lot of different shelters. So we and the shelters kind of decide if they need to be put back outside or if they could be adopted out.
What does the trap mean? You keep saying you trap them. What does that mean?
Yeah. So you actually have a metal like cage and you put food. So I have two different types of traps. So one, you put food all the way at the end of it. And they when they go and eat and they step on a step, it closes behind them.
Okay, I see. So in the pure definition of a trap, it's a trap.
Yeah. And then I have one that it's called a drop trap. So it's a little, people like, it's funny. I posted a video on TikTok of me trapping a cat and everybody was like, oh my God, this is like Looney Tunes. It's actually like a big metal box. Yeah. And it's standing up on, like, something's holding it up. So yeah. The cat doesn't know that they're in a box. And then when they go in, you pull a string and it closes down on them.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, yeah. And is it, like, a high success rate? Are they really that gullible or do they know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So there's been cats that won't go in the regular trap. So that's why we bought the drop trap, because they can't really tell, like, they're inside something because it's up high above them. But yeah, they usually go right in. I like the drop trap better because a lot of cats, like, we've had cases where they go in the trap, like they go to eat at the end and then they step on the step, but then they get out before it closes, kind of. So we've had like issues like that. So I like the drop trap better, but the other trap is easier to set up. So it really depends on each case, each cat. Like, some are gullible and they'll just go right in. But some people, like, you know, I'm friends with a lot of cat rescuers. And there's some cats that for years people try to get and they just won't go in any trap. They're very smart.
Oh, and, all right. So are those quote unquote street cats?
Is that
a thing? Okay. So these guys are like street smart, if you call it a sense. Like, they know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They are. They're very street smart.
Now, is cat specific because you just choose it for cats, or do you partake in any other animals like dogs or anything like that?
We do, but not on purpose. We sometimes come across other animals. Like, we've rescued turtles, birds, dogs. It's just because we've like come across an animal that needed help. It's not like we don't specifically go out to rescue dogs, because that's a whole other ordeal. Yeah. And we're not really like, we can sometimes get dogs, but it's just a lot more goes into it. Okay. So, and we don't have all that equipment, and it's a lot bigger equipment, the traps, if the dog won't come to you. There's been dogs I've had to like chase and like grab and stuff, and like put my keychain lanyard around their neck to like get them, and you know. Yeah. But some dogs will run to us, some won't. So yeah, dogs are a whole other thing that we try not to get into, but we've rescued probably around, I would say, like maybe 20 or so dogs. But it's not our specialty. Cats are definitely our specialty.
Okay. Now, is this purely volunteer work, or is this just a job that you have with them, or?
It's just volunteer. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
How much of your time are you spending on that? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. We actually like end up spending a lot of money and time on it. So we actually had, the case where we had to, and I was kind of talking about this with somebody recently, it's like kind of putting up boundaries and kind of like knowing your worth. Like, me and my boyfriend, we both work full time.
Yeah.
And we do this on the side just out of like, you know, we love cats. We want to help the community. We want to help stray cats. We believe in TNR, which is trap, neuter, release. And that's like, you know, spaying and neutering street cats that can't be adopted out. So we really believe in that. And in our town in upstate New York, it was really expensive. It's different here in Colorado. It's a whole different setup, but it was really expensive and took a long time to get cats spayed and neutered. We would hold on to cats for a month until to get them an appointment. Now I could go drop them off literally today and I pick them up next week, but it was such like an ordeal upstate New York, and it's expensive. It was like around $100 per cat, and people would refuse to pay. So we ended up paying for a lot of the cats to get spayed and neutered. And at a certain point we had to say, you know, we can't do this anymore financially. We're already spending all of our time after work. I mean, it takes hours sometimes to trap a cat and then to go drop it off to get fixed and then pick it up and then drop it off back home. You know, it was taking a lot of time and money. So we finally had to say, you know, we can't pay anymore. And people would get mad at us and they'd be like, well, it's not my cat. Like, you know, and I'm like, well, it's not my cat either. You know, you're the one feeding it every day. I have nothing to do with this cat. So we had to start saying no to people that refused to pay. But yeah, it can take a really long time. The other day, here too, I'm in Colorado, everything's just further away. So dropping it off and then coming home is just an hour in itself, round trip, and then trapping the cat can take anywhere from, sometimes it's a few minutes, sometimes it's a few hours. I mean, one cat took us, one colony of cats, it was a mom and her 5 or 6 kittens.
Oh,
it took us 9 hours.
Wow.
So it depends on the cat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So not only volunteer time, but that's 100 a cat?
It was in New York. Yeah. Now it's just donation based. So at the shelter, I give like, you know, $15 here, $20 there, $10 here, you know, per cat. Gotcha. So it's not as expensive here, but it is more time though, because the shelter is just further away.
Okay. And all of this because you wanted to start a pet shop?
Yeah.
Like, what many would say if they're listening to this, like, that's a complete waste of valuable time. Is it really just because of that? Why? What's the motivation behind the mindset? Is it just
empathy? Yeah. I guess I just really like helping cats. And yeah. I know, so the life of a street cat is very, very hard. They have a much lower life expectancy. People are very abusive to street cats. I volunteered at a spay and neuter clinic. Yeah. And a lot of the cats would come in with like paintball or like the pellet gun BBs, like BB guns. They would come in with like injured, and yeah, a lot of people will shoot them and poison them. They'll leave out antifreeze because they see them as pests, because they, you know, they'll go to the bathroom and gardens and stuff. They'll I don't know, they'll kill like birds and stuff. So a lot of people see stray cats as pests. So it's really to like the less cats that are on the street, the less they're being abused. And then in the shelters, because these cats are outside just reproducing, and a lot of people will just take kittens to the shelter. They won't get the adults spayed and neutered, but they don't realize that in 3 months, they're going to have kittens again. So these shelters are just overrun with cats. And it's like something like, it's a crazy number. It's either a million or a billion, which is either number is hard to fathom, but of cats are put to sleep each year in the US. So the more that we're spaying and neutering cats, the better off, you know, they'll be, and the less abuse there is. So,
okay. Now I have one that goes from like, it sets off my Ring camera every time it goes back. we do not feed it. What's your advice? If you don't want the commitment, do not feed it. Is that?
Yeah. So basically, if people don't want cats around their house, like don't feed them, because they're going to go search for, when they find food, they're going to stay. And so, like I said in the beginning too, if you start feeding one cat, you're going to have a ton of cats in your area, because wherever there's a food source, that's where they're going to stay.
Sure.
So people, there's like natural ways to keep cats off your property, because there's a lot of people that have gardens and, you know, their flowers and everything, and the cats will like ruin that. So people can put like coffee grounds or like citrusy kind of things. And the cats won't go because they don't like the smell. So
they don't like it. Just the smell, or is there something about the coffee? And then there's nothing inside the coffee.
Yeah, I think it's the smell and maybe the consistency. They don't like it, so they won't go to the bathroom there. So they'll kind of stay off that property. So that's what I recommend to people. There's natural ways to keep cats out of your gardens and off your property. And, you know, I always tell people, if there's one cat that you're feeding and you love that cat, you better get it fixed or bring it to a shelter if it's friendly, because you're going to have a whole bunch of cats in your area.
Yeah. I've only seen this one guy, but he definitely routinely every single day. I don't know if he went through my trash one day or something I left outside, but
yeah,
he,
it might be a neighbor feeding him and he's like crossing your property to get to the neighbor.
I think you nailed it. there's an older couple out front that I think leave food for the cat outside.
Oh yeah. So he's probably going to, he probably sleeps somewhere and then goes to eat. And you're in his path.
Okay, cool. Now let's talk about the monkey of the year, right? Like, how's COVID treating you? I haven't talked to you since this whole thing started.
Yeah, we haven't talked in so long. So I feel like a little bit guilty when like people ask me like how COVID is affecting me, because I know people are like losing their homes. I'm actually picking up two cats tomorrow in a temporary care program because their owner lost their home. So I'm going to hang on to them until the owner like figures out what they're doing. I know a lot of people have lost their jobs, and people have just been posting their mental health has like never been worse. And I just feel like COVID's been really great for me personally. And I feel bad. Like, I feel super guilty saying that, but like, I didn't lose my job. I've been super lucky to be able to work from home. I just went back last week or the week before, whatever day it was, but I just went back to work in person. Yeah. So this whole time since March, and you know, I work in a school, so I had the summer off. But my mental health has never been better, because I've gotten into like really good routines. I'm like going to bed earlier. I'm reading before bed. I'm meditating before bed every night. I'm sleeping in the morning, because before I would have to leave at like my house at like 6:45 to be to work by 7:30. And now I don't have a 2-hour commute each day. Now I do, but you know, there's less traffic, so it's been shorter, but I was having a 2-hour commute every day. And I just felt like super stressed. I was super anxious. And now I'm like able to sleep in. I'm able to take, I'm not a morning person. So I would like sleep through my alarm. I would rush. I'd take like a 5-minute shower. I would run to work. I'd have the hour commute. And I was just like super stressed all the time. And yeah. Now I'm able to take like a nice long hot shower in the morning. I'm able to eat breakfast, which I was like never doing before. Yeah. And I'm able to like cook and keep up with the housework and clean and everything. And so I feel like super guilty saying that like I'm doing better because I'm home more. The worst part for me personally, because like we still have our house, thankfully, and we're both still working online. And Mark, he works remote anyway, so nothing really changed for him. But a lot of our trips got canceled, which was like the hardest part. And we didn't even lose a lot of money. It's still debatable like what we're gonna lose or not, because our flights, we got flight credits.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if we're gonna get that money back or not. But like you know, so we might lose some money from the flights, because we have to use the flights before a certain time. So there's a whole thing with that. But like basically like all our hotels, everything, our rental cars, like all of that, the tours, like everything was refunded. So the only thing in question is the flights. But that was like the biggest thing for us, really. And then one of our friends, our two friends, so one of my friends worked in healthcare, and they were moving back to New York. So that was like the hardest part too, was like, we didn't really get to see them at all. We went hiking with them twice, like social distancing. And we had to wear masks the whole time. She works in healthcare. But we didn't really like get to spend a lot of time with them and say goodbye to them before they left. So that was like the hardest part, but otherwise we weren't like hugely affected, which has been really nice. But I feel like guilty for saying that, because everybody's like falling apart and I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay, you know?
Yeah. I don't want you to feel bad for that. I don't want you to feel guilty, because I have this conversation with my wife numerous times during this thing. Now, I tell you, in the very beginning, when they were saying that they were going to be body bags all over the place, pretty much, I was a mess. You know, that's when I was working on the $300 startup podcast. That's when I was doing all that stuff. And it all fell apart for me. I just couldn't hold it together. I work in healthcare, so I was walking into what felt like death. Like they were making it seem like it was just, you know, put your mask outside and all this stuff. Anyways, I can't agree with you more. I've had, my mindset is the best it's ever been. I've done so many things since. We purchased a home. We've made so many different investments. We're not in any type of dangerous situation. Our kids have been able to eat. I haven't lost my job. My wife works from home. Nobody's caught COVID. My family's doing well. Like, I hear these stories just like you do, but I'm having a hard time figuring out why all these decisions are being made like strongly on it when it comes to local government or, you know, on the political side of things, because I'm not seeing what they're telling me I'm supposed to be seeing. They're telling me that, you know, every time I step outside the door, it could be the end of my life. At least here in Massachusetts, that's, you know, the liberal state thing, that's a completely different conversation. But, it, you know, they're enforcing vaccination now, the flu shot. They're forcing, I'm assuming, this COVID shot whenever it comes. And I'm looking around wondering, is this truly necessary? I don't know.
I think it's so hard, because I think, me and Mark were talking about that with two friends last night. We just like, it's so hard to know. And I just think in general, just because of social media and like, I don't know, there's so many, like there's Twitter, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, and it's just so hard. It doesn't matter if somebody like posts that the sky is blue, like you don't know what's real and what's not anymore. So it's really hard to figure out. So for me personally, like, I don't really like watch the news or read that much. I'm just like, cause it's just overwhelming and there's just so many things and people are saying so many different things, and one news article will say one thing, one news article will say another. So me and my boyfriend, we're just personally just trying to stay safe ourselves and doing like what we can do. And, you know, we're sanitizing, whatever, we're going to work, and we go out, you know, we go to outdoor restaurants, or like, we'll go hiking, and we went away for the weekend, and we went away for the week, but we did it like as safely as we could. And, that's it. And I never get my flu shot. And I did this year just because like with work, if you have any like symptoms, like you can't go to work and you have to quarantine. And I don't want to like confuse like the flu and COVID, cause I don't know, it's like similar symptoms or whatever. So I don't know. I think this season's going to be pretty tough, because if anybody like has a cough, it's like, do you have COVID? Is it just a normal cold? I don't know. It's just like, it's just, it causes a lot of anxiety. So I'm just doing what I can do to like, for my own peace of mind and to stay safe. And so I don't know. I don't really pay attention to all the news and everything because it's just stressful.
Yeah. And I think that's the consensus that I've been hearing. And that's what I've been doing too. I did a complete social media. Well, let me not say complete. I have 5% of Twitter time in me.
Okay.
So let me not be a hypocrite. But I had to know what I was not good at. And what I was not good at was being able to self-discipline myself with all the noise of social media.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those things that I tried over and over. I didn't really care so much about the actual screen time I was wasting. What I really cared about was the 2-hour rant that I would throw after the screen on time to my wife.
Right.
Who then had to sit there and listen to me rant about something that I obviously have no control of. And the final drawing point for me was when I started seeing people, friends, longtime friends, sometimes even family, starting to argue with each other about obvious things that they can't control. And when it comes to, you know, politics, people that frankly don't really matter to you. You don't know these people, but people are fighting, you know, in the defense of these people, this tribalism that's going on. And I had to leave social media. I don't know how you do it. How are you doing it? I ask.
You know, it's so true. A lot of my friends have left social media, a lot of them. And I think for me, I use social media. Like, I know a lot of my family will say, like, they'll complain about Facebook and they'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I can't even be on Facebook. It's constant, like, fighting and this and that. But I don't, like, pay attention to any of that. So I think I do a good job of, like, keeping myself away from all the hate and arguments. And I just know people that are constantly posting hateful things. And it's just so, it just consumes you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live like that. So I think I do a good job of using social media in a fun way. So I don't really go on other people. I don't really scroll through Facebook. I will a little bit, but I mostly like, I think because the algorithm is pretty strong on, the algorithm is pretty strong on Facebook and TikTok. So I see like what I want to see. So mostly is like my algorithm. It's like all animals. So like my TikTok is like all animals. It's not really anything political or whatever. So I just use TikTok for fun. I don't really use Instagram that much anymore. Like I'm not really serious about it or anything. Like I'll just like post on it when I want to post on it. And I won't, you know, even like for business wise, people always recommend like post this many times a day, post at this time and post these and do a call to action. And, you know, and I'm like, whatever, I don't really care anymore. So I'm not really like doing that. So I'll use Instagram once in a while. I don't really scroll through Instagram anymore. I don't really post on Facebook anymore. The only thing I really do on Facebook is my Facebook group. I am mostly just on my Facebook group and TikTok and I use them for fun. So I feel like social media hasn't been affecting me in really that much of a negative way lately. And any like hateful thing I see or whatever, I unfollow it or I don't like, I'll snooze that person's posts or whatever because I don't really like want to be consumed by hate. It's just, it's a lot of energy and unnecessary. And it's not like if like all these people posting about all these political things and these hateful things and well, this person said this and this person did that and look at this clip, it's not changing anything.
No,
it's just adding more, it's just contributing more negativity and we have enough of it. So I'm just like trying not to be any part of it.
Yeah. So and to use the word consensus again, so the consensus on this, everybody, I ask everybody the same thing. How do you do it? And it's pretty much just a Jose problem. You guys, and I say you guys, that group of people have figured out that you're just strong enough to move past the bullshit.
I think it's hard. I think it's an everybody problem.
I'm not good at it.
No, and it's a lot of people aren't. And I think that's, and you know, I'm not always too. There's obviously times I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, that really annoyed me or whatever. Or I'll get like a hateful comment. Like I made like a simple, like funny video on TikTok and somebody brought politics into it. And I was like, why? That was so unnecessary. So I just like blocked that person, but it did it. Like it stayed with me and I stayed annoyed about it like all day. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. But I'm like, it had nothing to do with politics at all. And somebody like made a political, like nasty comment. And I was like, what? Like, but that's like what I mean too. Like, why are people even thinking that way? Like, why did they think to bring in a nasty political comment when my video had not one thing to do with politics at all? So it is hard. And, you know, like I said, a ton of my friends have left social media. I know a lot of people that have deleted their Facebooks, their Instagrams, their TikToks, and I think like people have to do what's best for them and everybody's different. So like, if you know what works for you, then, you know, you got to do that. And, you know, I'm just not on Facebook scrolling through that much, you know, I'm just on my Facebook group. So I'm sure if I was scrolling through and it affected me like that, you know, I would have to delete it, but I love Facebook, so I'm not going to delete it, but I love social media so much. I wish I didn't, but I love it.
Yeah. You know how to navigate it. Apparently you do that. Your group is awesome. I was part of the group.
Thanks. Yeah. I noticed you weren't on social media. That's why I remember I emailed you a while back and I'm like, what's up? What's going on? Cause you did, you just like weren't anywhere anymore. And I was like, where did Jose go?
Yeah. I'm a cold turkey type of guy. Plus I was having a very hard time early in COVID. You know, the healthcare thing had been depleted. It took for me to go to my therapist and my therapist to allow me to connect the dots between the fact that, hey, not only are you worn out at home mentally with everything you got going on, kids and, you know, the news and everything, but when you go into work, you're now in a hostile environment. Yeah. And that is also contributing to, you know, it was just a breakdown, honestly. And I'm okay. I'm a big proponent on losing fast, right? Like having one of those mindsets where I just build up again something else.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of COVID, I struggled hard. And then I locked in on, you know, some principles that I really want to take care of. And I started to not rely on routines that often. Mm. I came to find out that routines are brittle. And if it wasn't, and if it wasn't lined up perfect, like the location, the time, that then I would just fall off of it and like completely. Yeah. You know. So, but now I have some principles and I've been working on those and I've been better than ever. And we, as a family, thankfully have been better than ever. So it's been going.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
I do a lot
great.
Of reading and stuff. You brought up meditation, that you're doing meditation. I also, your last episode was with a breathing coach.
Oh yeah.
Juniper. Mm-hmm. Is it
Juniper.
Juniper. I don't want to mess that name up, but yes. So how big is it for you? I'm always interested in how people kind of declutter their minds.
Breathing. Yeah. And I think it's different for everybody. And that's something I actually really struggle with because my mind's always racing, like just like a million miles an hour. I just feel like I can never slow down. So, I have a really, and I've tried all different types of meditation. Yeah. And I actually in Thailand did meditation with a monk.
Really?
And you got to like pay.
That sounds incredible.
It was crazy. You got to like pay a donation towards the temple. Yeah. And a monk would lead you through all these different meditations. And it was a long time. It was like a few hours. I can't remember exactly, but it was over 2 hours. And my sister was like, I cannot do this. Like, I'm not doing this. But then like, we kind of almost got like forced into it. We went like, it was kind of like the cat thing. We were like, so what's up with this meditation thing? And they were like, let's go in the room. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, we're in it now. But he walked us through all these different meditations, but it's really hard. I'm a very like fidgety, anxious kind of person. So when I'm sitting there, like we did a sitting meditation, we did a walking meditation, and I'm just like fidgeting all around and I'm like moving and I can't sit still. And I'm just like that. So I have a really hard time with meditation. So I did try Juniper's breathwork session and that was really tough for me. I just have a really hard time in general, just like relaxing my mind. So what I have learned that works best for me is I have an app and I play it at night when I'm ready to go to bed and I fall asleep to it. And that's like, that's the way that works best for me. Otherwise, I really struggle a lot with meditation. So for me, it works best at bedtime, laying in bed, listening to a meditation app. And that's really like all I do.
Gotcha. Yeah. I can't get into actual, Buddhist sitting down meditation. I'm with you. My brain will just start going left and right. And people keep telling me, let the thoughts go and just keep going. And I'm like, all right, I can't sit here. So what I found to help me at least calm down was the old school and very basic, 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out, that type of breathing exercise.
Yeah.
I listened to the Rogan podcast and he had James Nestor on, which he wrote the book Breath or Breathe. I think it's Breath.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
So I read this book and boy, did we take the nose and breathing in through our nose you know, we take it in as, we take it for granted, basically.
Yeah.
And I started focusing on that. I took his advice to put the little bit of tape on your mouth before you go to bed.
Yes, yes. I saw that on TikTok. Yeah.
Yes. And it's, I have a Fitbit, so I'm tracking the sleep, and it's incredible. It is freaking incredible. And I wake up feeling, you know, like a, you know, full battery. Like I'm ready to go. My mind is flowing. It's very creative. I don't get stuck. I don't fall into the bullshit, the, you know, everyday 9-to-5 bullshit. It's incredible. And I think we took it for granted. I recommend that little tape move to anybody.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok and people were like, the comments were so funny. People were like, are you trying to kill all of us? Like,
he is clear that it should just be a little bit. I think he actually says like, hey, do you know Hitler's beard? Yes. Move that over your lips and that's pretty much all you need.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just we keep our jaws open. I remember my dad telling me, we used to watch NBA basketball, right, the finals. And I think there was a year, well, there was a year where the Lakers went against the 76ers. And basically, long story short, one guy, Shaquille O'Neal, was sweating his butt off. And the other guy, Dikembe Mutombo, was dry. I mean, this guy was just playing ball. He wasn't sweating. And I still remember my dad telling me, hey, you want to know the difference between those two men? One is breathing through his nose and the other one's breathing through his mouth.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, whatever. I was a younger kid. I was like, I'm just here to watch basketball. I don't really care about that stuff. But it, yeah, breathing through the nose, extremely underrated.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's so true. It's so interesting that I've been hearing more and more about it, which is interesting. It keeps coming up. So it was funny yesterday. I was like, do I breathe through my nose or do I breathe through my mouth? I don't know. And I was like trying to pay attention.
Yeah. The hard thing I'm having trying to figure out is I know I breathe in through my nose, but is it okay to breathe out my mouth? Like, am I supposed to just do the nose
for both? Oh, right.
Because if I do the nose for both, I'm probably going to, like, suffocate. Or I'm going to feel like I'm going to suffocate.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so interesting. Why do we feel like we're going to suffocate when we're breathing through our nose? It's strange.
He goes into it, but I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not going to get into it. If you read that book, something about we have, like, these receptors on the top of our lungs and... You know, that's why deep sea divers could go as deep as they go, because they built their receptors to be able to take up a lot of like CO2.
Oh, interesting.
It actually makes the argument on, you know, we're so caught up on oxygen, but the real thing our body needs is the CO2 and the balance of the two.
Okay.
It's a really good book. This is not an ad or anything, of course. It's just a good book.
It keeps coming up. So I feel like I should read it because you're like the third time I've heard of this book in the last week. So yeah, I should definitely read it.
Well, every time I think about monks, I think about that book because he does talk about how monks could change the temperature of their hands from one side to the other by just doing exercise. It's crazy stuff. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's that Rogan effect too. You know, if anybody goes on Rogan, they're kind of,
right.
Yeah, they're going to go like wildfire and everybody's going to start talking about it. But it is a good book. I do have to give it that.
I'll have to check that out. It's interesting because I'm so bad at this kind of like mindfulness stuff and meditation and wellness. But like that's my job. Like I teach other people, like I'm a therapist. So I'm going through this program now. I'm in a fellowship called Asset. Yeah. And it's like kind of bite-sized, like 5-minute mindfulness practices and breathing exercises. And I teach that to my students at school. And it's funny to teach other people something when you recognize that you're so bad at it yourself. But I feel like because I practice and like teach it to them, I'm getting a little better at it. So that's really nice.
Sure.
So yeah, I've been doing that the last, this year, like since, I think I started in August.
How's that going with, I mean, the state of everything nowadays with kids and you having to, how's that going? It must be a hassle.
It's been really interesting because so I work in a middle school and high school, and obviously the schools have just been, you know, crazy. But I'm in a different program. So I'm in what they call the effective needs program. Right. So I work with kids that have IEPs and they're diagnosed with like emotional, social emotional disturbance and things like that. Like very high needs kids at school that just don't do well in the typical sit in class all day kind of atmosphere. So we give them a lot of different tools and we give them a lot of resources. They're able to come to our room and do their work and stuff. So our program is being affected like very differently than the rest of the school. So
I'm interested in this, by the way. My son is autistic, and we have an IEP for him yearly.
So
super interested. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So we do have one student with autism, which he's not supposed to be in our program because there is like a specific autism center. Yep. But he got placed in our program kind of like by accident. But he does so well in our program that his mom wants to leave him in our program. And he does really great. And he's not super high on the spectrum. So he's like very functional. He just has like tantrums here and there and can't like express himself like super well sometimes, but he does really well in our program and the structure we have, and he's really sweet and everything. He's cute. But so it's interesting because our school is basically they kept announcing like different things, and I'm in Denver, so they kept announcing like we're gonna go back this day, actually we're not, and we were gonna go back, my program was gonna go back September 8th came and went, and they were actually we're going back in October, no we're not, yes we are. So we kept going back and forth. So our program went back. We're the only program in the school. So my school, it's a middle school and high school. It's 900 students. And we're like, we have 8 kids in our program now that chose to come back, because our program is around like 20 kids, only 8 chose to come in person. And so one day there were 5 of us staff with 2 kids, and that's just my team. We have the assistant principals and, you know, deans and everything in the school, but it's a whole big giant school. And then there's just like just the 20 of us. And then, so they just announced that the school is staying virtual until the end of the semester. So until January, except for my program. So my program, you know, they can be in person. So, but we don't know, because, you know, things could change and they could send us virtually. So
yeah,
I'm not sure. We're just like going with the flow. Some people have been very stressed out and annoyed and angry and just confused. We don't know what's going on, but I'm really just trying to take it day by day and just go with the flow. And I'm just not leaving anything important at work, because we might get the, oh, you can't come in tomorrow anymore kind of thing. So sure.
Yeah. We found that, we've been able to, my wife works from home, so she's still able to do, here in Worcester, they completely shut down the schools as well. You got a date. We did not get a date, apparently. Actually, they called me last week, pretty unprofessionally, and said, hey, if we open up, would you send the kids back to school? And I get that she was trying to be very, don't be alarmed. No, it's okay. She was being very casual. But too casual, because I was confused at the question. It was just really blunt, and I didn't even talk to my wife about it. But my son, his services are not in school. Because he has special needs classes as well. He functions pretty well. Same thing, has a hard time communicating sometimes and stuff. But either way, Worcester continued to shut his thing down. And the point I'm trying to make is that I think the anger from the frustration that you get, maybe from the parents, could be that they still have to show up to work.
Yeah.
And I guess leaving them with you is sort of a daycare.
Because this is the thing too, is that it's I'm 100% babysitting, because, and I love my kids and I love seeing them and everything, but their classes are all still virtual. So they're on the computer all day. Okay. Like, we're not teaching them. We're just watching them on their computers all day. So, so their teachers are teaching them virtually, and they're sitting in the classroom within our program and in their seat all day. So it is. And we said, we're like, you know, it is what it is, but call it what it is. We're babysitting, you know?
Right.
So, and I think COVID, like, one thing it really highlighted was how our society works. You know, it's like school is a babysitting service for parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents, the economy is not functional without school. Everybody's like, we need to open the schools. Well, why? Because parents need to go to work and they need the daycare for their kids. Exactly. And, you know, I don't think people are as concerned that kids aren't learning. It's that they need to be in school for the parents. And, you know, who was the highest need during COVID was healthcare workers and the grocery store. That was it. So it really like highlighted how our society works and how like fragile, like if people aren't home, if people are at home, our economy crashes. It just really highlighted how our society works and how fragile it is, which I think is scary too, because I think, you know, a lot of crime went up and everything. And, you know, besides everything that was going on, like, people are desperate. People are losing their jobs. They're losing their healthcare. They're losing. And that's another thing. So many people are losing their jobs, so they can't pay their rent or mortgage. So people are losing their housing. People are losing their insurance, which is tied to their jobs. And it's like, how could we function like this? It's not sustainable, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. So my question would, what's your take on me not being able to support the local grocery store because they're closed, but I can still drive into Walmart and I guess support Walmart?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the thing too, is it all these like local shops were forced to close, but the chains were open. Why is that? That's, you know, that doesn't make sense. And then, you know, we couldn't do it in the beginning of COVID, because I think just, you know, in March and April, we didn't know, nobody knew what was going on. It was like super scary. Everyone was really stressed. We didn't know if we walked outside, we would die, or like, now we like know kind of like a little more. Yeah, exactly. Same. We're like, you know, safe now, but we didn't know what was happening. So, you know, the grocery stores were empty, but like now we usually do the grocery store pickup. So we put our order in online and then we pick it up. Like local grocery stores can do that too. You know, so I mean, that was the thing too. People were saying, why are all these like big corporations open, but mom and pop shops are closed? It, you know, it just is not, it just doesn't make sense.
It's very fishy. Yeah. And I don't see the madness that you're explaining to me around me. Now, I work in a hospital. I don't even know if saying this stuff could even get me fired. But we get this like daily email that's just like full of like, you know, certain stats or whatever, certain things that's going on. And I mean, if I were to go off of this email alone, I would tell you right now, Des, if you walk outside, you're going to die. You know, it's just this type of like propaganda that's being flushed. And then I go into work day in and day out and I'm looking around and nobody is behaving like there's a threat. Nobody is behaving. I'm sure there's a threat. There's a sign everywhere that tells you it exists. But I see, you know, staff congregating. I see staff without masks. I see staff with masks.
Wow.
This is kind of scary to even think about. But since the beginning, even the body bag phase is what I call it, at the very beginning, I haven't been COVID tested in the hospital once.
Wow, really?
Not once. I haven't been temperature checked. I haven't none of that stuff. And it's extremely strange to me that you keep telling me that this thing is a dangerous threat. But when I walk into this building to work with my peer who sits, you know, 6 feet away from me, neither one of us have been tested. I mean, I could have went to a party this weekend. I could have went to a rave.
Right.
This weekend. Yeah. And, you know, and it's so.
My school is doing temperature checks. We get checked every morning. Would think. Yeah, we get checked every morning before, and we have to fill out this thing, this like app. We have to fill out every morning to say if we have any symptoms or not. So
yeah, is it the Now app?
It's called Safe Access.
Okay, we got one of those. So every morning before work, I got to punch into it.
Yeah, that's interesting though.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it. I'm not one of the bunch that's stupid enough to say that this doesn't exist. I know that there is that crowd out there that's saying that this is all fake.
There is, yeah. Which crowd. I know people personally that have been diagnosed and have struggled with COVID, and like, okay, so they lived, but they're still having effects. Like they're still having symptoms.
Are they?
Like months and months later, like long-term effects. Like one person I know, so I don't know if you know Shay, she's in my group, she's the harp player, but she like lost her voice. She doesn't have a voice. Like she can't breathe. Like recently she had COVID months and months ago, like in March or April, and she still has trouble breathing. She still like can't do anything more than like walk, 'cause she can't breathe. Like there are long-term effects that I think like we don't really know yet. And I think that's what's scary too, 'cause there are those people who are like, well, the statistics of dying are very, very low, but the people who, that's fine and good and all, whatever, like you'll survive. But the people aren't really talking about that. If you get COVID, you're going to have like these weird symptoms for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you lived, but you're like, some people are still, you know, so there's the people who are, you know, test positive and they're asymptomatic, but there are people who have symptoms and they can't get rid of them for, you know, months and months. And so I think, you know, there definitely are those people that think it's a hoax and don't think it's real. Like, I'm not one of those people. Like I've seen it. I know people who have, you know, passed away from it. I know people of, well, not personally, but you know, my friend's friend or my friend's aunt or something like that, you know, that passed away from it. I know people who have long-term effects from it personally. So, you know, it is a threat, but how big of a threat, I don't know. And that's again, the thing of like, I'm just trying to keep myself safe because everything is saying something different. So I'm just trying to be safe for myself. So
Now they're trying to over here in Massachusetts cancel holidays. Today's Halloween at this recording.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'm supposed to say happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Happy 2020 Halloween.
Yeah. So Worcester closed trick or treating where I live.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we can't do it. So this is the obvious, and I'm sure a shitload of people are going to do this. We're just going to go to the next town over and go trick or treating.
Right. And that's the thing that's hard too, is like every single, like I was talking to one girl and she's like, oh, what are you doing for Halloween? And I said, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm not obviously not going to a Halloween party, but I'm going to hand out candy and I'm going to like watch Halloween movies and have Halloween themed desserts. And she was like, oh, but they canceled trick or treating. And I was like, oh, well, I don't live in your town. So it's like, why is everybody doing a different thing? So like you said, like, you're just going to go to the next town. It's like my town, you can trick or treat, and her town that's 30 minutes away, you can't.
It's weird. Yeah. And that same thing is happening with the schools here in my area where, you know, we're completely shut down in school and 15 minutes up the street, they're doing hybrid, you know, 2 days.
Yes, exactly. It just doesn't make sense. Why is everybody doing a different thing? You would think that it would be a uniform, like uniform expectations. So yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if we're going to get any trick-or-treaters, but we bought candy just in case.
Yeah.
If we don't get any, I'll just bring it to work and give it to those kids.
Same for us over here. If we don't know what we're going to get, we're going to the next town over. But my kids, my younger ones, especially, and the high schooler, they're missing out on that social activity. And if they for one second think that I'm going to start taking holidays away from them, I think I will start combating at that point. I've been pretty quiet. I wear my mask. I'm very, you know, I work in healthcare. I have to, I take care of myself. I work out, all that good stuff. But it gets to a point now where you're telling me these things without any reason for it whatsoever. How they're telling us that because the reason Halloween is closed here is because we're a high a high city. We're in the red is what they call it. Mm-hmm. Well, there isn't an invisible shield around the red. I'm going to go now to Oxford and those people are coming back and forth, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very strange.
You know, one thing though, that I, not that I love it, but one thing that I really appreciated about COVID is that I've never seen people be more creative.
Yeah.
That good point. Just the things I've been seeing and the things people are doing. And, you know, like I said, I'm on TikTok all the time. I love it. Like people are so creative. It's like one woman, I didn't even think of this. This is like, it was just out of what I was thinking. And I don't know. I was like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? But this one woman posted just this great, I was like, oh my God, that's such a great idea for people who like have, because there are families that have somebody at very high risk in their family, whether older or has like an autoimmune disease or something. So it's like, she posted like, if you're at high risk and can't go trick or treating, you know, Halloween's not canceled for you. Here's what you can do. And she showed this great idea of like an Easter egg hunt, but a Halloween hunt. And like, you basically put all the candy in a tissue and then you put like, and you wrap it with ribbon and then you put like, make a face to make like a ghost or a skeleton and you make like a Halloween candy hunt. So I was like, I really, and then one person posted, like they made a big machine that gives out their candy. I don't know if they're high risk or whatever, or they were just trying to be safe, but they made this big machine that like you're on the sidewalk and you press a button and there's hand sanitizer. So you can sanitize the button like each time you push it and candy comes through a tube from their house. Like, I just love how creative people are being. Like, I've never seen people be so creative. It's really amazing.
It's glorious, actually, that you can find the bright side in it. Yeah, because it's very hard to find the bright side in any other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Anna's doing, but I have heard those people that are trying to be creative and still do it, regardless. I guess I'll tell you how it goes after today. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know what to expect. I don't know who has their lights on. I don't know what's happening. It's very weird.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, it could go either way. I feel like, and one thing in general, somebody said recently in my Facebook group, they said yesterday that they've been getting less and less trick-or-treaters over the years. And for one, I think that's because, I think a lot of things go into it. For one, that we're just like very adulting children, you know, children feel like they're too cool to go trick-or-treating. So like all my teens at school, they're like 13, 14. I'm like, are you going trick-or-treating? They're like, that's for babies. I'm no, like, are you kidding? But so I think for one, that, but I think for two, there's those trunk or treat things that, you know, so I think those are taking a lot of the, have you heard of trunk or treat? They have them in.
I don't understand it, but I've heard of it. How does this work?
Yeah. So basically, like, so a lot of schools do it. So my school did it last year, is that okay. All the staff will have, well, whoever signs up or whatever, but a lot of neighborhoods are doing this. A lot of communities are just having trunk or treat. So you decorate your car and you have all your candy and decorations in your car and your car's like decked out. And then, yeah. So the kids are just in that like parking lot or wow. That like neighborhood cul-de-sac or whatever. And they trick or treat there. So I think that for one is also taking away a lot of trick or treaters, but this year nobody was really doing trunk or treat. I know a lot yeah. Of churches do trunk or treat. And like my sister said, her dance school was doing it. So I think that takes away a lot of trick or treaters. So I think this year could go either way. I think we might get no trick-or-treaters because people are just not trick-or-treating, or a lot of, you know, the families aren't really, you know, they're just having like, a lot of my kids were saying they're having like a family party at home with, you know, candy and treats and stuff. Yeah. Or we might get a ton because we're one of the only houses in the neighborhood that have our lights on. So I don't know, like, you know, it could go either way. I don't know.
Yeah. You're ready for it though. Yeah. That's super cool. So I can't have a conversation with Des and not bring up traveling. I know you told me a little while ago you were getting a bunch yeah. Of stuff canceled. Where were you going and how do you feel not going?
Oh my God. I was devastated. I was yeah. Truly devastated. And it was, so we were planning to go to Puerto Rico in March and we were going for 10 days and March is when everything was kind of happening. So like everything, you know, March 13th was my last day of work. They were like, you know, we were having our spring break in 2 weeks or whatever. And they were like, today's our last day. We're extending spring break. And I was like, everything was kind of happening. That's where the shit was hitting the fan, you know? Yeah. So I was like, are we going to Puerto Rico? Are we not? I don't know. Like, so I didn't cancel it till the very last minute because all of our tours we were getting, we stay in Airbnb. So all of our Airbnbs were messaging us saying like, right now we're still going to be hosting you. And then they would message and be like, there's going to be a curfew. You can't be out past 4 PM. And then I was like, well, what's the point of going if we can't, like, and then they were like, oh, there's like an all day curfew. Like you have to stay indoors. There's a stay at home order. And I was like, well, we're not going to go if like, we can't go outside. We're not going to go yeah. And sit in a hotel all day, you know? Yeah. And then our tours started refunding us. And I was like, oh, we're really like not going. So then we canceled our flights. So I was like devastated. I was so upset because it took me so long to plan that trip. And then July, we were going to Ireland and had to cancel that. So that was really upsetting because, you know, I love to travel and I feel I was having a hard time. That was my biggest struggle. And I feel stupid for saying it, but I was like, I can't travel. Poor me.
It's big like, for you though.
Yeah, I was like, people are dying and losing their jobs and house, but I can't go to Ireland.
I can see where you feel guilty.
Yeah, and I was trying to be like positive about it. But then there was also this, you know, I think a lot of people like people were kind of rubbing that in other people's faces. Like people were obviously like there and I took, you know, obviously I wasn't like, you know, I was having like a minor pity party, but people were, they had to cancel their weddings. They had to yeah. Cancel their baby showers. They had to cancel their graduations and people were sad and disappointed. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, at least you didn't die and lose your house. Like be grateful geez. For what you have. But like, no, people are allowed to be sad. You know, people are yeah. Allowed to be disappointed. I wasn't like, oh, you know, poor me, I can't travel. Like, screw those other people. Like, I recognize that it was okay to be sad, but I'm okay. I'm better off. Like, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay for people to be disappointed. There's nothing wrong with that. But we did travel once we felt like it was okay. Yep, we did yep. Go to the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
And we just went hiking. We only ate at two outdoor places. We brought all our own food. So we like cooked in the Airbnbs and stuff. So we weren't like eating out every day and we weren't like really going into town or anything. Like we just went hiking. So yeah. We felt like we were pretty safe. We brought all our cleaner, our Clorox wipes, our hand sanitizer. So we did that in July. The week we were supposed to be in Ireland, we went to the Grand Canyon. So that was really fun. We did that. And then we did recently go away. We recently went away for a weekend to Manitou Springs, which is in southern Colorado, and that was really nice. Uh-huh. And we went hiking and stuff, and we did explore the town, and it was a lot more crowded than I thought it was going to be. So we were kind of like on edge, but a lot of people were wearing their masks and stuff, so it was okay. And then we recently went to Yellowstone National Park and Grand wow. Teton National Park for 10 days. And so we did that. So we've been trying to travel a little bit when we can. Like, obviously we're not getting on a plane and going to another country or whatever. And then it's just risky too, because a lot of the countries are like, you need a negative COVID test 3 days before, right. and then you need to quarantine for 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, we're only going for a week. We can't do that, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know when we're going to be able to travel abroad again. I am going to Florida for Thanksgiving to visit family. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't been on a plane in a very long time. So yeah, we are trying to travel, you know, safely here and there. So
yeah. Now, since you've moved at least around in different areas, how do you feel the state of people are? Does everything seem normal? Does everybody seem on edge?
People seemed okay. People seemed normal. People were wearing, for the most part, people were wearing masks. A lot of people weren't. But there were a lot of stores that said, you know, mask required, and, you know, people would like put on their mask to go in the store, but otherwise like outside, even in a crowded, like one of the towns we went to was very crowded, and I wasn't expecting it. I was surprised, but people were just walking around like not a care in the world. So people seemed like totally normal.
Yeah. It's hard to match with what you read in the headlines, you know?
It's weird, for sure.
So, you know, before we leave and before we tell off and talk about According to Des and the future of that, I naturally have to ask, what happens According to Des Tuesday night? Is it Tuesday? November 3rd.
Oh God. You know, I have no idea. I really have no idea. I honestly have not been paying attention to any of like the news or the polls or like any of the predictions, because I just like, I have no idea. And I try not to get like too political, because I don't know. I consider myself to be a liberal Democrat, but I'm very much not like super like left side. Yeah, and I see kind of all sides, and I see people's concerns. I see what they like, I see what they don't like. And I just kind of see all sides and I understand it. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know either way, whoever wins, it's going to be a disaster. I feel like people either way are going to be flipping out. I'm going to stay home with my lights off. Like, I'm just not going to.
Chaos. Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be chaotic. And I think people either way are going to be really mad. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really have no idea who's going to win. I do know that in general, just at any time, typically, it's very, very difficult to elect a new president after just one term. So it would have to be a lot of votes to get Trump out of office. I know, just in general, it's just hard to unseat a president in the middle of two terms, you know, it just is. So, I mean, personally, I think he's going to win again. Just because of the way things are set up and our electoral college and everything. So I personally think he's going to win again. But I think no matter who wins, it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable. And I think people are going to be pretty upset.
Yeah. Yeah. We've gotten to the point where nobody can at least see the other side. Right now, everybody's main job for some reason is either to be a journalist or to try to convince other people of what they believe themselves. And I find that very strange. Worse than ever. I don't know why I can't just.
Super toxic.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't just, you know, somebody can't just be a Trump supporter and somebody can be a Biden supporter and just have a conversation and just walk away.
And I think social media really plays a big part in it, because I think, you know, me and my mom were talking about this recently. Of just before, it was you would read something in the newspaper in the morning, and you'd go to work and that was it, or you'd turn on the news. But now it's like, everything is in your face 24/7. And how you said, like, you walked away from social media. It's like the second you log on to any sort of social media, it's like in your face, and we can't get away from it. And it's super toxic, and people are calling each other names, and people are calling each other like very derogatory names, and people are commenting like, oh, you don't agree with me, so you should go kill yourself. It's super, super toxic.
Insane.
And that's not helping on both sides, on either side. Like, we need to stop with the name calling. We need to stop, you know, saying derogatory comments to people. We need to stop, you know, yelling, screaming at people. Just like, there's no such thing as debate anymore. Like, you can have a healthy educational debate, but the second someone disagrees with someone, they're like yelling at them, and it's not productive, and it's super toxic, and it's making everybody unhappy, even the person calling the other person names. It's consuming them with hate and toxicity too. And I think that, I don't know what's, it just feels like everything's going downhill. Like, nobody can be friends or talk to each other. It's very, it's very strange. And I don't know why, but it's, it's super toxic. And it doesn't matter who's in office. It's just either way. It's, you know, when Obama was in office, it was the same way.
Yeah. It's the whatism of everybody. It's just, I think that's what it's called. It's that whole concept of, if I say something, you have to say, but what about? What about ism? That's what it's called. All right, what about this? Or what about that person? I have yet. And, you know, whoever listens to this podcast will catch an episode where this has actually happened on the microphone. I have yet to have a conversation with a Trump supporter, a logical conversation, where they don't bring up Barack Obama.
Yeah.
It's insane. I'm just
it's always about Obama.
We are not talking about, and I keep trying to bring them back on track. Hey, I'm talking about, but you remember when he said Obama's administration. We're not having the conversation that we're supposed to be having here, and it's about the person, but that's neither.
Yeah, but you're right. It's with everything. It's like, I remember somebody saying to me, and I was like, what is that even talking about? I post about cats all the time.
Yeah.
And, I'm a cat person. So I would post about, you know, cats and rescuing them and stray kittens. And somebody commented saying, they said something, it was years ago, I don't remember exactly, but they were like, it would be nice if all the effort and care you put into animals, you put into unborn children. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, first of all, I work with children every day in my life that are here. I work with kids in foster care every day. Yeah. And I'm like, what do animals have to do with a fetus? I was like, what is this connection? I don't know. It's just, it doesn't matter what you do. People will say, well, what, why don't you care about this? And that's always something too, I find with celebrities, you know, and in general, I don't agree with how much money they make. I think we do need like a wage cap on like their, like millionaires and billionaires for like no reason, in my opinion. But no matter when somebody, I always see this online, like whenever somebody donates, like, oh, they donated $1 million to the Australia wildfires, people will say, well, why didn't they donate 2 million? It's like just nothing is good enough. It's always that, like you said, that what about this or what about that or why didn't you do this? It's like, it's too much. Nobody can live up to that.
No, it's worse now more than ever, but let's go back to a good note. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think it is because as much as I love social media, I think it is because of social media.
Absolutely is. I actually had, before we did this phone call, I had a gentleman do a podcast with me, and he was talking about, you know, that whole concept of social media, not only being very good, you know, he gave a bunch of examples. He met his wife on social media, a bunch of different things, but we naturally had to spill into the evilness and the toxic of social media.
Yeah,
it's a double-edged sword. But I do want to circle back to some good things here before I let you go. What, according to Des, what's the future? The podcast? What are we doing?
Oh gosh, you know,
what's Des doing next?
You know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm trying to like rebrand right now.
Yep.
So I think what I'm gonna do is I don't know. Like I said, I'm just all over the place. I have my screenwriting. I have my cat rescue.
How's the screenwriting going? Yes. Sorry.
You know, no, that's okay. You know, finally, I have to say it's going well. I dropped off for a long time. I hadn't written in months and months and months. Maybe not quite a year, but a long time. And I think finally it's going well. I finally finished a short the other day. I was working on two other shorts. I was working on my feature. So finally I'm writing again. I don't know if I got like a writer's block or what, but I stopped writing and I didn't want to, and I felt guilty about it every day, and it was really, really bothering me. But I'm finally back into it. Happy to report. So I'm going to keep going with that. I was supposed to work on a few film sets, but obviously with COVID they got canceled. So hopefully that'll pick up next year. I did over the summer work on one film set. And it was outside, so I felt like safe and everything. It was a small crew, so I felt okay about it. We didn't really wear masks too much. Some people did, but we were socially distant and outside. So I didn't feel like I was in danger or anything. Like, I felt okay. We were pretty safe. We all had our hand sanitizer. So I felt like that was okay. So yeah, I didn't work on as many film sets this year because, you know, COVID and everything. But
If you don't mind me asking, sorry. Lighting?
What was that?
We're doing what on this film set, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh yeah, no, I'm usually a production assistant. So I basically do a little bit of everything. I'll like set up the set, or I'll help the actors run their lines, or I will hold the sound equipment, the boom, or I'll help the director with whatever. I'll help the actors. I'll get their jackets. I'll help set up the food, just like whatever the director and producer need help with.
Gotcha.
I've been an extra a few times, which has been fun, because they're like, oh, like this extra didn't show up, can you fill in? I'm like, sure.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, so that's always fun. I love being an extra.
Must be awkward,
an extra a few times.
Huh? Must be awkward just being in the background, is it? Being awkward being an extra?
Oh, I like being an extra. It's a lot of fun, but it is like, you know, when I sign up to be an extra, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, but when they're like, oh, can you jump in? I'm like, what? Yeah, but gotcha. It's fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, so basically whatever the, you know, producer or director need help with, I help with. So
cool. So I'm not gonna let you off the hook. According to Des, the direction we're going?
Yeah. So I think the direction I'm going in is wellness. Okay. So, you know, when I interview people, as you know, I interviewed you, and I interview, you know, a lot of people that are basically like, you know, trying to, you know, do something on the side or pursue their passions. And, you know, something that always comes up in every single interview is wellness and mindset and mental health. And, you know, I'm a mental health therapist, I'm a social worker. And so I think that's the direction I'm going to go in, but with creatives. So I think I'm going to kind of connect my podcast and my Facebook group and my TikTok and everything. And I'll always have the cat stuff. I'll always have the screenwriting, but they're not going to be like the focus. So, and even my Instagram, I have to like totally rebrand my Instagram because it's only travel. So, the travel will be there. I'm still going to do my travel blog and like itineraries and stuff like that. Sure. But, I'm basically going to go more into wellness and mindset and mental health. And, I've been trying to write more blogs about that and do more content on that. And I've been trying to like put, you know, kind of navigate my Facebook group in that way. And I'm going to do, so my new thing that I'm going to be doing is ebooks and e-courses. So my e-course that I'm working on right now is a screenwriting one, which I'm in the middle of it. So I'm just going to finish that, but I'm going to do wellness.
Okay.
E-courses. So I think that is the direction I'm going to go in, which kind of makes sense. And then, you know, I could definitely incorporate travel into that. Because for me, travel is like my wellness. So I could definitely connect that. So I think, I'm just going to keep kind of doing what I'm doing. But kind of more work on my message and make it more concise. So
super excited for you. That all sounds incredible.
You. Yeah.
First of all, I want to say thank you for giving me the time, as always. You're super friendly and super awesome every time. I know we can talk forever about many different things.
We can. I always love talking to you. Thank you for having me. I love talking to you.
I will apologize for just completely disappearing off the map. But I will say not only am I super excited for what you're doing, we'll talk on the side. I think I can help you with a lot of those things.
Awesome.
Because I'm working on some things too, but we'll talk about that off the mic. Desiree, thank you so much. You inspire me not only because you are always going, I mean, 1,000 miles an hour, you have so many things going on and you address all that and you still don't have like an ounce of hate inside you for person. I know you're going to tell me you have your moments. Everybody always says they have their moments. I've never seen one from Des.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
You inspired me for that. But also how big your heart is. The whole, you know, the situation with the cats, that's stuff that's completely overlooked. And in just this conversation alone, you've definitely gave me an awareness to it. And hopefully anybody listening to this, an awareness of that.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah. I am going to collect some links from you and all that stuff. But if you want to tell anybody right now where they could follow you, where you want them to go.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think for one, definitely probably my Facebook group. I'm most active in there. So I'm going to be changing the name because right now it's called According to Des, but I think I want it to encompass more of what I'm going to be working on. So it's going to be like wellness and mindset with Des or something like that. But for right now, it's facebook.com/groups/ According to Des. And I'm going to make an announcement in there of what I'm going to change it to. I'm still going between a few names. I am going to also change the name of my podcast to match whatever the Facebook group is going to be. And my Facebook group, or again, is According to Des. My podcast is According to Des. And then my website is accordingtodes.com. And I am, I'm excited. I did get in contact with somebody who is going to work on my website to make it look nice because it's a mess right now. I'm not good with like technology in that way. So she is going to fix up my website. But I just need to work a little bit more on my messaging and my brand colors and things like that before she can work on it. So that's kind of what I'm working on next. So I am going to be doing a major like rebrand, rename and everything, but I'll announce that all in my Facebook group and on my podcast and everything.
Awesome. Please follow Des. Des, keep moving at 1,000 miles per hour. We need more people like you around.
I'm going to try. Thank you. And I want to hear everything you're doing. So definitely let me know.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That wraps up another great conversation. I hope you guys got a lot from that. Des is one of those people that's able to function and do many different things well at the same time. I'm definitely not one of those people, but I appreciate people that can do it, and I want to learn from those people. As always, guys, I appreciate y'all. Please rate, share, and subscribe this episode. It's the only way I can continue to have the conversations I want to have, and you can continue to get the conversations you want to listen to. As always, I'll see y'all next week. Take care. Later.